Here's a friendly suggestion. Those beautiful views deserve some new frames. Custom designs and superior service make getting new windows a work of art. A free, no-pressure renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
On one of our YouTube videos, there was one of the episodes where I didn't turn my camera on for like the first minute. And
It
shows you, and then it's like a picture of me being like, I forgot to turn on my camera.
Oh,
and it gets back to you, I forgot to turn on my camera. Aaron is very funny. Julie Mezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
So, fam, as you know, I am on tour right now. The next batch of cities I'm coming to are Detroit, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Minneapolis.
Great.
So, I'm all over the place. I love it so much. The way that it works is I'm doing a little show for like an hour, making you laugh, telling a story about when B. Arthur got drunk and was really mean to me.
Okay.
And then we all go to the bar where we're just like hanging out, making friends, taking pictures, drinking all night.
Yeah.
And it's great. I'm just seeing all these new friendships happen. People have stickers to wear if they're traveling solo.
That's so nice.
It's really great. People are just like scooping up new people, and it's really great. It's really just meant to bring the TCO fam together for an evening, and we're having a great time. So
amazing.
Please come and see me. PatrickTours.com is where you can get the link for tickets. You can also just click the link in the show notes.
I love a really concise website name.
Oh my God.
Tell me exactly what it is.
But like, that's all it will ever be.
But I love it.
If I ever stop touring, it's gonna be like PatrickSaysHi.com.
Simple to the point.
Totally.
That's Fiona's Instagram. Fiona's Instagram is Fiona Says Hi.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I thought it was Fiona Roids.
It was, and then I always hated it.
But then she got off steroids. And then
that's exactly why. I was like, we gotta change this. I never liked it.
Just quickly, fam, also YouTube. Please go check out our YouTube channel. If you want to see full episodes, it's really, I watch them. It's really fun to watch.
They're very fun.
Yeah.
It's a whole new
but
world.
But it's not for you to watch.
I watch them because, oh my God, it's part of the gig, but it's not like for fun.
Yeah.
It's for work.
You look so pretty on the videos.
Oh, like, thanks. So do you.
I always say, I wish you could see you the way I see you, because I always am like, God damn it, she's so pretty.
We're always so amazing to everyone else, and then it comes to ourselves, we're the meanest people ever.
I know.
Well,
anyway, what are we watching today, girl? What are we talking about today,
Well,
girl?
What we watched, and then we'll be talking about, it's called Love You to Death, Playbook for Murder. It is on Amazon. It's on Apple TV.
He was lying on the floor with a pool of blood, and that image is never going to be erased from my head.
This was a planned out execution where somebody did not leave a lot of evidence behind.
As police attempt to find the killer, a trio of potential suspects emerges.
The victim thinks she's in her perfect relationship with her dream person, and things are never as they appear.
There was a lot of things that she did not know about him.
You wouldn't look at him and think this is the type of man that would murder somebody brutally, coldly.
In my career over the 30 plus years I've been in law enforcement, this is the first time I've ever experienced that.
This is one of those true crime cases where it can actually happen to you.
This one is a real doozy. How did you find this?
I found it. It was served to me.
Okay.
It was suggested. And it was definitely, a couple of listeners reached out about it because this piece of shit is such a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So we love when they literally
lead us. We do love when they're stupid.
And this guy is like supremely stupid. Very, very creepy. And like the worst and fucking evil, but also a true moron.
Yeah.
So
which
that's
is like,
always a little bit cathartic.
We get somebody
cathartic.
Who kind of tries to nicely compare this guy to Elon Musk at one point. It was like, he's so smart. Just like Elon Musk. I'm like, what? It took them 2 minutes to catch this guy.
Yeah, also Elon Musk.
I know. It's just like, it's
like,
just
how old
not
is this thing? Guess what? Spoiler, it came out last year,
totally.
2024.
It's, well, look, we started on February 27th, 2018. Panic is setting in for Jessica Devnani.
Despite numerous phone calls over the last 3 hours, she is unable to reach her fiance, Patrick De La Serta.
I knew that something was terribly wrong. I just knew it. And I tried to call Patrick over and over again, and there was no answer.
And then Jessica's here. And I was like, oh, yeah. My God, she's not our victim. It's so unusual that it's not the woman at the center of the story.
She has this very cool and intricate eye makeup on. It's like pink and green.
It's beautiful.
I could never. I'd have to pay someone to do that for me. I could never do that
Daisy
myself.
Is just getting into makeup. And
fun.
Because I've never done makeup, I can't really help her. So she's kind of just going into her
That's
room
great.
And coming out with a face full of
look,
makeup.
You know me. I'm learned by doing. I
truly,
love this.
She also has a bunch of gowns. Like, she wanted not dresses for Christmas, but like gowns.
Okay.
So now when we go out for like our casual Mexican on Saturday, she'll get into one of her gowns with her opera gloves and her face full
look.
Of makeup. And it's kind of wild.
Live
it's
your like, life. I love it.
I know.
Wear what you want, live what you want.
When we walk into like the casual Mexican joint with her opera gloves,
yeah.
It's just wild.
Yeah.
It's like, tell me you're raising your kid in the gayest part of the gayest city without telling me you're raising your kid in the gayest part of the gayest city.
You don't have to.
Okay.
You just did. Or you just did, whatever the answer is. So Jessica is in a total panic. It's been hours. She can't get a hold of Patrick. So she calls Bryce, who's Patrick's brother. And Bryce is here with us today.
Yeah.
So Bryce calls their father. Their father calls the father's girlfriend.
Yes.
And her name is Shannon.
We learn that Patrick has been living on his dad's property. His dad is a sprawling 6-acre property in South Florida.
Yeah. He has his own house. It's like the guest house on the property.
It's like, and like the guest house is like on top of the barn. It's crazy.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
This property is massive. But Shannon, the dad's girlfriend, goes to see what's going on and gets there like just to find Patrick dead.
Because she lives the closest. So it's kind of an all hands on deck thing. And Shannon is like called up. So Max is the dad.
Right.
And Max calls Shannon and he's like, Shannon, please, like, can you go over? Because everyone is far away.
I mean, and Shannon, we hear the 911 call. She like, everyone on this 911 call is as calm as I've ever heard.
Yeah.
911, where's your emergency?
My boyfriend's son has been shot and killed.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
You don't want to try CPR, correct?
No, he's dead. He's cold.
It was like unsettlingly calm, but like it's just clear that he's been murdered in a really violent way. He's like on the stairs. We see crime scene photos only from like the waist down, but you can see that this has clearly been a brutal killing.
Yeah.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
So fiance Jessica arrives and she's like heartbroken.
Yeah.
Totally devastated. This image will never be erased from her mind. It's like everyone just is like all running to the house. Shannon got there first, sees this horrible scene, calls everyone. And then poor Jessica walks in and like her worst nightmare has just come true.
And like, we're going to learn Patrick and Jessica were like soulmates.
Yeah.
They like, we'll get there in a minute. But like, I mean, incredibly devastating to get there and like have to see the carnage of your like your soulmate. Murder.
And no one knows how or why this happened because Patrick's awesome.
Yeah.
So we learn about Patrick. He was born on June 4th, 1992 in Miami. He and his brother Bryce are super close. And Bryce is here to say,
we were normal kids growing up in a big house with a big yard, plenty of pets and animals and things to entertain ourselves with. We were always in the garden exploring, looking for bugs and animals and snakes and reptiles.
Boy shit in Florida.
I've said this like in the last couple weeks. That was me. I was like running. I mean, I used to collect snakes and toads and salamanders and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know
They're
what
cool.
changed. Like when
I don't know what
Jesus decided
either.
That I was going to be gay, he made me real gay. And
yeah,
like,
but
I can't
do both.
I can't. No, I can't. It's it,
you
like,
can't do both, but you can do both.
So, other gays can do both.
Other people
this
can do both.
Gay may not.
No.
The joy of it is no longer exists within me.
Yeah. No.
No.
I love a good salamander. You like, you're at a restaurant on the beach and like a little salamander comes up and you're like, hey, girl, want some this chutney? I probably shouldn't feed you whatever the
chutney?
Sweet thing
what are
is.
You eating that has chutney?
I don't know. Something. That's a very specific experience. Mike and I were on vacation and there was a little ramekin of like something
okay.
that came with my like
burrito or
whatever.
Something?
And this little salamander was super into it and I was not into it.
No.
So I was just like, chutney
hey. Chutney can be delicious, but it can also be not delicious.
Yeah. I just wasn't into it for whatever reason. I was like, do you have like ranch or like chipotle mayo? For this basic bitch over here. But the salamander was super into it. And then I was torn because I was like, I want this little guy to be happy.
Yeah.
But I also don't want this little salamander to get sick either.
Uh-huh.
It like ruined the whole day.
Don't feed the salamanders.
I didn't know what to do. But Bryce and Patrick also really loved anything that had to do with mechanics, cars, motorcycles. They were like taking things apart.
Once again, not my ministry.
I know. They wanted to have their own business together. And I'm like, oh, my Friday Night Lights people, like Riggins Riggs.
Aww.
Like Tim Riggins and Billy Riggins were going to like.
I love it.
And then it all fell apart because.
I want their business to be called like Cute Brothers Construction or something. You know what I mean?
Because they were Riggins. So it's like Riggins Riggs.
I love that.
And
That's
then Tim would be like, come on, Billy. God, Riggins Riggs. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the thing that really sucks here is that like when they're teenagers, their parents get divorced.
When their parents got separated, they were in middle school. The two boys were actually split up. One went to live with mom, one went to live with dad.
In 2002, Patrick goes to live with their father and Bryce goes to live with their mother. It sounds like everyone was cool with that plan.
Well, but there's definitely a little bit of sadness when Bryce is talking about, like, they loved each other.
It's a bummer because we just got 10 minutes of, like, how they did everything together and they liked all the same things.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, like, because they thought, I mean, he was only 10. Patrick was only 10 when this happened.
I just can't imagine splitting up the brothers. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah. I would love to know.
More
I'm not being
that.
Shady about it. I'm just curious, like, what that conversation was like. That's not really why we're here.
No.
But I'd just be interested to know if that was okay or, like, how you came to that conclusion. Because Max, the dad, seems great also.
And they all seem close now. I don't know. But eventually, Patrick does go into business with his dad, like, in a construction business.
Yeah. And Patrick was, like, always had luck with the ladies, as they say.
I mean, one look at this guy. Like, he was just, like, a beautiful, young, fit kid. Like, he just, you know, and, but, like, he also, what's the word? He's got the riz.
He's got, yeah.
You can even just see in the pictures the riz oozing out of the pores.
Well, we hear a voicemail from him, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of, his personality really comes through in that voicemail, which is a heartbreaking voicemail looking back on it.
Oh,
but you're like, oh, this is the guy.
And even in pictures, you can just tell, like, he's the guy in the room that's, like, always having a good time.
Yeah.
And like checking on people and just like, you know, like the good guy. Like he's the guy, in my opinion, as a dad of a young girl. Like if she ended up like dating a boy like that, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, in June of 2017, Patrick meets Jessica, a.k.a. the one on
if
an
she
app.
She decides to date boys. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm just saying if she decides to date boys and she ends up with a boy like that, I'd be thrilled.
Okay, great.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't think anyone's really.
Okay,
we're that doing that, everyone. We're nitpicking that. Context clues. Media literacy. Is it fucking dead? Is it dead and gone?
If my daughter came out of the closet and she was dead to me.
Like,
get out, not in my house.
Can we just, like, the context matters that, like, if she, like, isn't that implied that if she was dating boys?
I will say, like, with the opera gloves and the tiaras, I think the ship has sailed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. We'll see. So they met on one of the apps, and Jessica wasn't sure if she'd meet anyone, really. But I love Jessica. She's got standards. So she wasn't responding to these one-liners. If you send her, like, WYD, what you doing, like, that's not going to happen. Take a walk, buddy.
That is the equivalent of, like, the honking out in front of the house.
Moving, pal. Jessica doesn't have time for this shit. Because Patrick, however, took the time to write a real message.
Yes.
And immediately that caught her attention because she's like, oh, made the effort. It's a smart message. It's charming. Like, she got a lot of feeling for his personality in it. And she's like, okay, like, this one I'll give a little bit of the time of day because it's not just some stupid one-liner.
I will also say, I think as much as Patrick's got the riz, I think that Jessica also has the riz.
For sure.
I think that she's just one of those people that you're in a room and you're like, who's that?
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
But they meet and they're just like, they're a great match for each other. She says, he was the extrovert. I was the introvert. She needed somebody who had that kind of spark. And she's like,
we had so much fun. Like, no matter what we did, I loved everything about him. Just, there was not a mean bone in his body. He treated me like a queen.
And, like, you see pictures of them, and it does seem like, they would get a flat tire and make it fun.
They'd have fun.
You know?
And their relationship took off right away. They had their first date. They were off and running.
Yeah.
Jessica says, oh, my God. She says, it was as if we were waiting to meet each other. She says, they were soulmates. Like, they were in love.
What does your queen say? Nice to meet you. Where you been?
Yeah. It's true. Like, they just look so happy. They're, like, dancing. And she just, like, he says he treated me like a queen. They were just super in love, couldn't wait to start their life together.
Truly.
And couldn't wait to build a life together.
Yeah, like to the point that after dating for just 5 months, he proposes.
And they couldn't wait. Like, 5 months too long.
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibe I'm getting from Jessica. Like, they were just like, let's do this. I don't want to play the field. Like, let's go.
I love them.
I know. So, but Patrick and Jessica weren't living together yet.
Because it's only been 5 months.
It's only been 5 months. But so they're like looking for a place to live.
Yeah.
And they decide to move to South Florida, which is where Bryce, Patrick's brother, was already already living.
Yeah, and Jessica is saying she thinks that 2018 is going to be the best year of her life.
Yeah.
It ends up being the worst.
I know. But the situation was kind of great. Like, moving to South Florida was great for everyone because they could start fresh in a new place, but also be close to family.
Yeah.
And, like, Patrick and Bryce were going to start this business together. So it was kind of the best of every world in their
yeah.
life.
Yeah. And so we jump back to the day of the murder. It's February 27th, 2018. And, like, Bryce has to be I don't understand where the authorities are. Like, why the family is all arriving on the scene before the authorities and, like, seeing Patrick dead. Bryce has got to be the one to call his mother and tell her. Like, that is just fucking awful.
Yeah. So it's February 27th, 2018, 11:38 a.m. The cops finally get there.
Yeah.
And we see the actual footage from when they get there because they were doing body cams a little bit.
Yeah, and their guns are drawn because, once again, they don't have a lot of information. They know somebody's been shot, but it's a sprawling property.
It's like a huge compound. They have no idea.
They're like, the gunman could be anywhere.
Yeah.
And you see them, like, going into the house, like, screaming, if there's anybody else in here, announce yourself.
Like
that's
busting
terrifying.
Into rooms. Like, yeah. They have no idea what possibly could have happened. So Rich is here. He's an investigator for the state attorney's office. And he says that Patrick was found on the stairs by the front door. So, like, this is graphic, I'm sorry. His legs were still on the stairs, but his torso and upper body were on the floor.
Yeah.
So they're saying...
So clearly and fairly obvious to a seasoned investigator is that Patrick was coming to the door when he was shot and killed. And he never got outside the door to answer it.
He essentially, like, someone came to the door, Patrick went to answer it, he was shot and killed, and he never even made it outside.
Yeah, right. And we learn that the shell casings they find belong to what are called 300 blackout ammunition. I don't know what that means. It sounds fucking awful.
They're apparently used for assault rifles, like the AR-15.
Right.
Which is, like there's no reason for a person to have
that. A non-military human to have that.
Like, there's just no way to be like, look at my AR-15 in my home. Like,
right.
There's no reason for, like, a normal civilian to have that.
Absolutely
no
way.
Not. So the gun isn't on the property.
Right. And there's only, so he's been shot four times, but they only find two shell casings. So they're saying that, like, the killer, like, tried to clean up, but did it sloppily, only got two of the shell casings.
Right.
Like, why even bother?
I mean, asshole.
Right.
So there's no DNA, no fingerprints. There's really not much to go on. However, there are cameras on the property.
This is like, it seems like a very big deal at first.
It is, because, like, they're going to sprinkle in why this is all happening. And
yeah.
then you're going to look back in hindsight and be like, that's why they had the cameras.
Yeah,
so just
yeah.
hold tight.
Right.
But there are cameras on the property. Bryce, the brother, got the cameras for Patrick. Since the house is kind of secluded in the woods, and because of other things we'll discover in a minute.
So the cops go into, like, where the computer and the hard drive would be that are collecting the images from the camera.
They see, like, an Ethernet cord and some power cables, but that is it. The hardware has been removed. Somebody's taken it out the house.
The computer and the hard drive are gone. To which I'm like, why isn't Bryce and the dad immediately arrested?
Like, so whoever did this took the footage and got rid of it.
But had to know where to go within the house to find it.
So at first, it's like, that's really shitty that we don't have the footage. But at the time, it's seen as valuable information, right?
Right.
They're like, okay, this person must have known Patrick. They must know the house.
I mean, because you're thinking if you install the cameras, you're going to put the computer in a place where no one, like, just any random burglar off the street wouldn't be able to just find it.
Yeah.
And we never really get an answer
we
to
We never
this,
get an answer about
About
this.
How the person who is the killer actually knew where to go. Like,
no.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So Jessica obviously is too distraught to speak to police right now, because they want to ask a lot of questions about Patrick and his life, and Jessica can't do it right now, understandably.
Yeah.
So they speak to Max, his father. And Max, the dad, because it's like, any enemies, any issues, and Max, the dad, is like, well, we have had some incidents with our neighbors.
Ugh.
So what happened was on...
This is crazy.
January 24th, a month before the murders,
yeah.
this asshole neighbor claims that Patrick, quote, trespassed on his property. And the neighbor fired 6 or 7 rounds. Now the neighbor's like, what? I just shot them into the ground just to scare the kid.
Like, this is what I'm talking about in, like, gun country. We're dealing with people, like, quote, protecting their land,
like,
and their...
No.
Like, with guns and shit. Like, what is going on?
And, like, what could Patrick have done... That would
anything
make sense.
A gun. And then when we see Please. The cops taking this neighbor down, it's like 9 cops that tackle this kid.
Yeah, because, like, how many weapons does he have? Like, what's going on?
It's just crazy.
Also, I shot them into the ground. No, you didn't.
No, you absolutely
didn't. You 100%
did not.
Didn't. So during this incident, Patrick is not injured.
Right.
But the cops are called and the neighbor is arrested.
But when police actually question the neighbor, hopes of tying him to the crime are dashed.
He was still sitting in jail from that firearms incident where he fired the shots thinking Patrick was an intruder. So they were able to eliminate him as a suspect because he's sitting in the cooler at the time.
The neighbor is still sitting in jail from this very incident.
Which, like, thank God. And it's, like, also the best alibi on the books,
right.
You know?
Like, I was in jail. I couldn't have done it.
I don't put it past this kid to get out of jail and then be the one to kill Pat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anybody who's just going to willy-nilly take their gun out into the yard and, like, fire in any direction to, like, prove what a fucking man you are. Like, not stop
like,
it.
Stop. Stop.
Guns,
stop,
like,
stop.
I just guns. That's all.
I know.
That's all.
I know. It's too much.
Yeah. I made the note here in talking about the next door neighbor. One of the reporters says he was still sitting in the cooler.
In the cooler.
I've never heard that expression for jail before.
Yeah.
In the cooler.
But that either means that, like, he probably had a long rap sheet or our system is very flawed to have him sit in jail for a month. I don't really care because this guy sounds like a dick.
It's the worst.
But there were things where I'm like, oh.
Is it like the cooler? Like, because we put you there to cool off? Is that what it is?
Yeah, probably.
The
or like
cooler.
You just keep him fresh for a while until... They need to go to
where?
Court or
okay.
whatever.
Okay. Can you tell that you and I have never, like, we've never tussled with that part of the justice system?
No.
Can you imagine? I had a friend once whose boyfriend went to jail. Like, they were on a cruise, and when the cruise docked in New York, they called the guy by name to, like, the captain's office.
What'd
they took
do?
Him off in handcuffs. We never found out. But he went down to the tombs. It's in New York City, like, that's where, like, they hold you. It's like, it's scary fucking shit. But, like, I all of a sudden, I knew a person who was in jail. That had never happened before.
That's crazy.
Or since.
I've known people who've spent time in the drunk tank.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe I haven't.
I do that. But I did have to go to a police department to have some conversations. And it's wild because where they wanted me to have the conversation was in the interrogation room with the double-sided glass.
Oh, my God. You could have gotten some great content out of that girl.
And it was a shithole. It was uglier than the SVU room,
right.
Much smaller, about half the size. And a bunch of fucking cigarettes, like, in an ashtray. So they were talking to someone, getting that before me.
No
I wasn't in there
way.
For any. I was, you know, report. I was whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The closest I've ever come to, like, actually experiencing the true crime world was I was on a jury once and I loved it.
Yeah.
That's, like, as close as I got. But I knew once a gay guy that went to jail, which is wild.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So the stupid neighbor has been ruled out. So it's like, well, was there a jealous ex-girlfriend? And I'm like, well, definitely not. But let's talk to Keandra Jackson anyway.
She's
a marriage and family counselor.
This is so stupid. They honestly are, like, actually putting us through the paces of entertaining the idea that a woman who was so mad that Patrick broke up with her brought an AR-15 to his house and shot him four times.
No.
Am I allowed to say that that is just ridiculous?
I mean, women definitely kill, but it seems like they wanted to hit the 50-minute mark with this thing.
Totally. Do women kill with AR-15s? Probably not on the reg.
I don't,
you know
Florida,
what I mean?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know.
See you soon, Orlando.
Depending on how far into gun country you are, I don't know.
I just couldn't imagine, like, a gunslinging lady. Not that I can't imagine a gunslinging lady. I totally can. But, like, just, I guess my point was, like, Patrick, you weren't, like, the idea that he was such a great lover, like, he was such
I
a
know.
Prize, a lady to bring an AR-15.
Well, because what they're doing is planting the seeds for what actually happened.
Yes.
So we hear from this relationship expert who's like, hey, you know, Patrick dated around a lot. So if he was dating someone 5 months ago, right before he met Jessica, and now, like, they're getting married,
that
would sort of trigger someone to be like, what the? Like, I thought he was the one, and now, like, 5 months?
No, and, like, I know, lady, remember that other lady in Florida who, like, had her boyfriend killed, but then he walked into the interrogation room?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one? Like, I mean, I know that they can do it.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Okay.
So they speak to all of his recent exes or whatever. None of them are a person of interest. Everyone's clear.
I always love it when you're just bored with a part of the story.
I know. It's just like they didn't do it.
And there are times that I'm like, Jillian's going to be bored with this. I barely have to take notes on it.
Boring.
Totally.
So just because, like, I want to get the son of a bitch and you're wasting
my
time.
Totally.
You're wasting my time right now. So the cops finally sit down with Jessica because she's, like, ready to speak to them.
Yeah.
She tells them about this guy named Gregory Bender. He is her ex and a total fucking creep.
They say
Jessica's ex, Gregory Bender, had been persistently coming after Jessica, trying to win her back.
That's an interesting way of saying stalking her.
He's stalking and harassing her on a regular basis. So,
and why would a true crime show present it like that?
I don't know.
It makes me crazy.
I don't know. So Jessica was with this guy for 8 years, and he's much older than she is.
Yes.
So she was 20, he was 42.
And they say when they broke up, she was, quote, determined to never see him again.
She goes no contact immediately.
I mean, that's significant. That tells you a lot.
Yeah, and we'll get into exactly why. But this guy is so obsessed with her. He sees and watches everything Jessica is doing online.
Yeah.
Stalking her relationships. And, like, the amazing relationship that she's in, that she's screaming from the rooftops because she's so happy, is making this guy furious.
This is where we meet Les, Gregory's, quote, former friend. I thought you'd like that.
Former coworker.
He did take the opportunity to say former friend and former coworker.
Yeah.
This is where he compares this piece of shit to Elon Musk, another piece of shit.
A total piece of shit.
He compares him to him like it's a good thing. He goes, he's got that personality type. Highly intelligent, but a little bit quirky. I was like, girl, this did not age well.
I wouldn't call Elon Musk quirky or intelligent for that matter. Why don't you have another stupid, ugly fucking car that falls apart? Why don't you just continue ruining everything?
Can I tell you, there's this lady who's
the ugliest thing I've ever seen. I hate those fucking cars.
They're so ugly. But there's a lady on the board of directors of AS4, which is this organization that I'm on the board of as well. I won't say her name in case she doesn't want me to, but she goes down to the Tesla dealership and gets arrested every weekend.
Good for her.
She's one of the ones that gets arrested every weekend.
She's just sitting there screaming.
She's doing, I think she threw paint on the building. Like, they're really acting out.
Wow. She's in the cooler for sure. But Jessica's like, my entire relationship with this guy was a lie. Like, everything about it was a lie.
Yes.
So Jessica's dating this guy for 8 years. After 4 years, they get engaged. And then she goes, immediately after we got engaged, she starts acting strange. And I'm like, that train's never late.
Never late.
So, but this stuff is fucking weird. So he's engaged to Jessica.
Yes.
They've been together for 4 years. He's 42 years old.
I stopped trying to make this story make sense. So you got to tell.
It doesn't make any sense. He's 42 years old. They've been dating for 4 years.
Yeah.
No, he's probably 46 now because they started dating when he was 42.
Yeah.
They are engaged.
Okay. One more time. What's their relationship status?
To be married imminently.
All of a sudden, like, he told me that I can't come over his house anymore because he got a roommate and he doesn't want any girls coming over to the house. And I said to him, but I'm not like a girl, I'm your fiance. Like, how can you not tell your roommate that? That doesn't make any sense.
First, I was like, are we wandering into gay territory? For 1 second, I thought that was
happening. Jessica's like, I'm not a girl, I'm your fiance.
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about? So by 2016, which then is like, oh, Jessica, like, if we're looking back on it, it's like, how often were you at his house, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this room, like, he just, and I'm sure there was like, oh, my enemies, or I'm so special,
exactly.
Or like a million reasons why she couldn't be there. Oh, I'm getting fumigated. Oh, this, that, whatever.
His house is one of those, like, shitty, quote, Tuscan villas that looks like an Olive Garden, which are awesome. Don't get me wrong, but like, it's one of those, like, he thinks it looks fancy and it just looks shitty.
It just doesn't.
You know?
So 2016, shocking, the relationship reaches a, quote, tipping point. Greg, for whatever reason, is admitted to the hospital.
Right.
And I'm like, deathbed? Is he dying?
Girl, you dying?
Like, deathbed?
I know. We're very hopeful.
He's not.
No.
But so Jessica visits him. Like, of course she does, because she's a good person and she cares about him.
And she's his fiance.
And she's been manipulated by this guy.
Yeah.
She walks in and there's another woman already sitting at his bedside.
God.
Guess what? It's his wife, a.k.a. like, the roommate.
Well, everyone in this room knew it except for Jessica. You know what I mean? We, like, all knew this is where this was going.
Gregory.
For 1 second, I thought maybe it was a boyfriend. No. Wife.
Greg kicks Jessica out of the room.
Oh, my God.
He tells her to get out. She leaves.
Oh, my God.
A few days later. I mean, think about that. You're with this guy for fucking 8 years.
Yeah,
and
you're
like, wait, what?
Right.
And so a few days later, the creep calls to apologize, totally ignores the fact that he's been married this entire time.
Yeah.
He's like, Jessica, I'm so sorry that I told you to leave the room, but my
also,
wife—
Also, stop being hysterical.
Yeah, my wife would have gone crazy
totally.
If you stayed. Jessica's like, you have a wife. Let's start there.
I'm also like, Jessica, why are we taking the call? Like, oh, God.
Because she needs answers for what she just did for the 8 years of her life.
Of course.
But we hear voicemails that he left Jessica.
Yeah.
And like, real voicemails that he left. And, you know, my wife is super pissed. She wants to get back at me and back at you. And now it's like all this drama
but
with the wife who's also in her 40s. Like, wake up.
But at the same time, he's also saying,
and this is a business arrangement. The only reason I married her was because she needed her son to go to a better school district. So I'm just doing her a favor.
In return, Gregory says his wife, Tamara, agreed to help out with the mortgage on his multi-million dollar residence
Her son wanted to go to the good school in my district.
None of this makes sense.
Agreeing to pay some of the mortgage? Girl, I thought you were a millionaire.
Like, these liars don't understand that that's not how this works.
Oh, right.
Because if that were actually true, which is impossible,
yeah,
Jessica would have known about it.
Right.
Like, they all would have met. It's still an insane lie that makes no sense. And even if he told Jessica, that would be a major red flag.
Right.
But, like, that's not how this works, liars of the world.
No.
So Jessica is like, okay, fine, prove it. Leave your wife.
Gives him to the end of the year to leave her. He doesn't do it. And then he says to her, there is no circumstances under which you are allowed to leave me. If you do, I'll kill you and I'll kill myself.
He says this to Jessica.
Yes.
So I hope the wife got out of here too. I don't think she did.
Oh, she's going to make a guest appearance at the end of this thing.
We see her later.
Yeah.
But so Gregory starts harassing and threatening Jessica. He won't allow her to dump him. This went on for months.
We hear a voicemail where he says, I made a call putting a plan into action. Call me back or I'm just going to let it happen.
So what he's saying is he's going to kill himself or her
or both.
And he's manipulating her to get a response.
And like, what do you do in that? I mean, she does the best thing she can do, which is she gets a restraining order.
Yeah.
But like, I was really putting myself in her shoes. Like, I don't know. That's so scary. And it's, what the hell do you do?
You do... If you file a restraining order and the cops say, well, when he hurts you or kills you, then we'll do something.
Then
we can't do it.
Exactly.
Like, that's what they will say.
God, I mean, I just, at that point, I hope
I've heard them say it. They've said it to my face.
Yeah.
Unless some, like, come back when you're dead.
Oh my God, I know.
What?
And that's what I'm just like, we never meet Jessica's family. We don't know if she's close with them. It feels like Jessica's alone.
It feels
like she's alone in the world. And that just scares me.
It's lonely.
Her.
Like,
yeah.
It's really lonely. But again, this is called Playbook for Murder.
Yeah.
This guy is telling her all of his plans. I'm like, and the threats are very real, and he's leaving voicemail. So, like,
right.
Jessica has all of this.
Yes.
Like, the audio of him saying, I'm going to hire a hitman, I'm going to do this, like, really off the fucking deep end, this guy.
Then she meets Patrick, and like, things moved so quickly. They were so happy, but she's begging Patrick, like, we got to keep this relationship off social media. We can't let him find out. Patrick, of course, doesn't understand the actual danger.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, I'm not going to hide. I'm not afraid of this guy. Like, and convinces her to put a picture of them on Facebook.
Now,
Jessica.
Before posting the picture, Jessica created a new profile, deleted her old profile, and blocked Gregory altogether. It wasn't enough.
He had found out about me and Patrick through Facebook. He had found my profile.
She makes all new accounts.
Yeah.
New Insta, new everything.
She thinks that this is going to, like, somehow he's not going to be able to find her. He finds her in 2 seconds.
He finds her. So this creep saw a photo of them on Jessica's new Facebook page, and then he ramps up the harassment of Jessica, and now he's starting to threaten her fiancé, Patrick.
And his family. He's saying, I know where his mother lives.
Like, that should be illegal that someone can just go online and get an address.
Don't we know it?
Like...
But, like, especially since it happened... If one time one creep has followed through on actually doing the murder they say they're going to do, there should be a million laws in place to prevent the next creep from doing it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And all Jessica can do is just collect the evidence for when the worst happens.
And
that's
even,
all she can do is just have a file of papers and audio files or whatever of this guy being an insane, violent person.
Yeah.
So that, like, when someone dies, there's, like, a bunch of paperwork for the cops to go through.
And it's like, even Patrick isn't understanding how dangerous this guy is, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what's also so scary, because he's not going to live his life in secret. Like, he loves this woman. They want to spend the rest of their lives together.
Right. So December 2017, that's when Jessica files the restraining order against Gregory. This guy has been just, like, sucking her energy and everything dry for, like, 10 years
and
now.
The restraining order covers everything. He can't call, he can't text, he can't show up in person.
Yeah. And so this is when we hear Patrick's voice, and he's leaving her a voicemail, and it's just so sad because he's like,
don't worry, babe. Don't stress about it. It's no big deal. I'm not going anywhere. There's nothing else he can do.
I'm not going anywhere. There's nothing he can do to us. And it's so hard because, like, I know that tone.
Of course.
I've used that tone.
Yeah. Of course, we all have.
I've heard that tone used on me.
Yeah.
And it was really jarring to hear Patrick so confident that, like, they're going to be okay. Like, we have this restraining order. And, like, there's a point where it's like, well, what else can you do
but
and say?
That's what I was just going to say. Like, what are you supposed... Like, because Patrick looks at this guy. He just looks like a herb. He looks like a total loser who just, like...
And he is.
And he totally is.
Things.
Right. And it's like, he doesn't look threatening or scary. I don't know if he's got a history of violence. Like, what's this guy's background? Has he been to prison for doing this to other people? I don't know. But, like... How is there not some kind of... I mean, I guess the restraining order, but, like, a piece of paper? That's not... We're here because it didn't work.
Right. And, like, you're saying... You want to say, like, it's so... like heavy and exhausting for Jessica to be living like this.
Yes.
So I think that voicemail was just sweet because he's trying to be like, we're here.
Yeah.
Like, we're good. Don't let him.
But like,
take
she knows the truth.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like, she sees what's going to happen here.
Right. So the day of Patrick's murder, this creep violates the restraining order and he calls Jessica at least twice.
Yes.
She ignored the call. But because the creep violated the restraining order, the cops already have cause to arrest him, making this very easy for everyone. Thank you, asshole. Keep it up.
Which is almost never happens. That everyone's kind of in sync where they're like, well, he's probably the killer and now we have cause to arrest him and now we're going to do that. I feel like this never happens.
And it's very clear because he's spiraling.
Yes.
He's breaking the restraining order the day that this guy that he's been also harassing has been murdered.
Well, like, exactly. And the other thing is, like, they want a warrant for his house. The timeline of this is kind of crazy.
They know they've got maybe 24 hours till he posts bond and before he can get back into his house and potentially alter, destroy, conceal evidence. So as that clock's ticking, law enforcement knows they've got to get a judge to say you can legally go into that house and find whatever it is evidence of the crime.
So they need a judge to sign this warrant so they can go search his house while they still have him in custody. So, like, the clock is ticking on that. Meanwhile, they sit down with this piece of shit for a formal interview. He refuses to talk on the advice of his attorney.
Fine. So he says lawyer, he won't talk. His lawyer comes in. He says the calls were made accidentally.
A butt dial.
The guy you've been threatening for a year has been killed.
You
break your restraining order that morning, but it's all just a misunderstanding. Also, you shouldn't even have her number in your phone. This mistake shouldn't even been able to happen.
Yeah.
That number should not have been in your phone.
Can I just say, it's not true here. Butt dials are a real thing. I, on tour...
It happens to Mike all the time. People butt dial Mike a lot.
I butt dial Tom almost every day I'm on
tour. Our editor, Tom?
Yeah. One day I just hear Tom going, hello... Hello, from my back pocket. He's like, I thought you were just calling to say hi. I'm like, I'm going into the venue, Tom. I love you. Bye.
But why are you doing this?
I don't know. But my phone just butt dials him. My phone loves Tom.
Do you know? I mean, I get it.
Who doesn't love Tom?
But do you not like lock the screen or something? Like,
I do, but I don't know. How do you
clearly
lock the
screen?
How do you lock a screen?
You just click the thing on the side.
Okay, well,
and then you make the thing where you have to put in your password.
See, I don't know about that.
You know that you have to put your password in to open your phone.
I guess. Okay.
Just click the thing on the side.
Okay. Tom, I'm clicking the thing on the side. It's never going to happen again.
Poor Tom. He's so sweet.
He's so sweet.
Hi. I love you, Tom. That's so cute.
I just love when I remember I was in India and I was, hello.
Poor Tom.
Patrick, hello. And I was like, Tom, is that you?
Also, little bit of advice. Just hang up and text.
I know.
But Tom's so sweet. He thought something happened.
He would think that I would think that was written. No, we're all good, Tommy.
So, but to make things worse, this piece of shit lawyer accuses Patrick's own father of killing him.
They say, well, you know, Jessica is very beautiful. And from what I hear, Max was trying to kind of hit on Jessica. And he wanted his son out of the picture so that he could have Jessica all to himself.
Max was jealous of his own son, so he killed him to get him out of the picture. Vile, disgusting humans.
It's absolutely... But, like, the cops, knowing that this isn't the case, still have to bring the dad in for questioning.
Right.
On the worst day of his life.
So, yeah, they drag him down for questioning to ask him if he killed his own son, which he 10,000,000% did not
do. He is me, where he's throwing his phone at the cop, being like, girl, click that thing on the side, like Jillian says.
Yeah.
Open it up and see where I was.
And, well, he's 90 minutes away, which is why he had to call his girlfriend,
right,
who was
exactly
closer, to check on Patrick. Hello?
Yeah, right.
I know I'm wearing my Columbo shirt, but my God.
I know.
It's not that hard.
No, and the cops know he didn't do it, but they just gotta, like, dot their I's and cross their T's or whatever.
So that they can hand it to the prosecutor and say, look, like...
And that's not what happened.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, it's the morning of Patrick's murder. Max, the dad, was getting calls from a strange number saying that someone was trying to deliver a package. Now,
just remember that their property is sprawling and they've had to install a gate because of the harassment from this piece of shit.
Now, that is brand new information. We're just learning about
this
now.
Just learning, yes.
So this gate is existing in the first place because of the harassment from the fucking murderer. The thing about the gate is that it makes it really annoying and hard to deliver packages. So they have a sign with Max's phone number on it to be like, hi, when you're coming for a delivery, call me, which is so annoying for Max to have to deal with also.
But it's also
for the safety of his son. Like, I get it, but it's like, imagine every single time.
We do need to discuss the wisdom of this because it's like, well, okay, you put in a gate. to keep the bad guy out. But now anybody can pretend to not, like, the bad guy can just pretend to not be the bad guy. You know
but
what I mean?
Only if you're a stalker and you know to do that.
But like, isn't that why they put the gate up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just, like, to me, I'm like, this isn't a good system.
I mean, I think it happened because there were so many missed packages. Like, it was, they're just fucking trying to figure it out.
And that's the thing. It's further to the point of, what do you do? Nothing works.
Nothing works.
You just, like, nothing works.
So, like, for Max to get a call about a missed package or a package issue is not uncommon at all. It happens all the time.
Yes.
So, like, unknown numbers are always calling him about package deliveries.
And, like, on this day in particular, we learn.
Max tells detectives that the call didn't seem strange because Patrick was expecting a delivery of a surprise custom engagement ring he designed to replace the one he originally gave Jessica.
When they're getting a call saying, like, hey, there's somebody at the gate delivering a package for Patrick for
Jessica.
They're
expecting a delivery anyway.
They're expecting it.
So everyone was really excited about the ring coming.
Yeah.
So that's why Max, the dad, told the person how to get in and deliver this package, because that's what they thought it was.
Right. And they don't focus on this long enough, but this sweet boy had, like, a typical engagement ring for his girlfriend, but wanted to do something really special and had a custom engagement ring made for her.
And, like, everyone knew about it and everyone was really excited about it.
I don't mean to ruin all the days of all the women who I am currently in the shower with, because I hear about that all the time.
Oh, great.
Good morning.
Hi.
But, like, this man made a custom engagement ring for his girlfriend. That's amazing.
Yeah, he loves her. He wants her to have everything she wants.
Yes.
Like, amazing.
Oh, my God.
So Max tells the delivery person how to make the delivery, which he does all the time. And then he calls Patrick to let him know that, like, the really important and special and exciting delivery has arrived.
Yes.
So
we're in the shower with people right now.
Hi.
Good morning. That you gave
him
a great shower voice.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Am I bouncing off the tiles? I don't know. Who knows?
Anyway.
So Max, the dad, checks in with Patrick and is like, hey, did you get the package? Is it there? Like, is the ring? Is it beautiful? Do you have it? What's the plan? Like,
yeah.
Again, everyone is really excited about this ring coming.
But, like, now Patrick isn't responding.
Right.
So then a little while later, the dad sends another text like, hey, I'm texting you and you're not responding. Like, what's going on?
So now that the cops know all of this,
yeah,
they want to track the number that called Max about the package, because there's no way a random delivery person did this.
Right.
Like, this was not a delivery person, there was no package. It's just a horrifying, awful coincidence that they were expecting this package.
It's either that or the bad guy knew that they were expecting the package, and that's another detail that we don't really get.
I think
here.
He saw a sign that said call for entry,
and he just got fucking lucky.
He just called, we'll learn later is that he's been stalking the property.
Right.
So he's seen people go in for packages four times.
Totally.
So now we got to dive into all the records, all the phone records, and that takes time.
It's pretty obvious, but
it's very obvious.
Okay.
So the creep's phone was at home when the murder happened, but either he could have left the phone or people have more than one phone.
It was like that idiot on the Patreon that was like, I am definitely the killer at gmail.com. If an email comes from an email address like that, if this person that we think did it didn't have their phone on them, like on the morning of the murder, their
like
phone.
Like everyone else in the world does.
It just, to me, is like, it's so clear that was done on purpose.
Yeah, we just need it to make the case. We need it for court.
You're right. I'll go fuck myself. You let me know when I'm
Great.
Welcome
okay.
to come back.
Guess who calls the cops out of the clear blue sky? This guy's wife. Damara, finally, she calls the cops.
Wife.
Now, she meets with investigators and she's like, hey, I dumped his ass. I moved out of the house.
Right.
But before I moved out, I did some snooping.
Uh-huh.
And this fucking creep moron dingbat kept tons of notebooks, and Damara looked through all of them.
I read something about getting clothes, driving in the car, getting over there, or how many car are. It was like a plan.
What kind of plan? Like a plan to do what?
I guess to kill.
To kill who?
Patrick.
This idiot is keeping notebooks on Patrick on how to get to his house, on how to kill him.
All his, like, stalking notes, his harassment notes, it's all there.
Literally, it's like a big journal, and on the front it says stalking journal.
Yeah, basically.
You know?
Like, remember, like, directions to the house. Now, Damara, the wife.
Tell me again, former friend and coworker, how brilliant this guy
and
is.
Quirky.
I know. Like, even the cops are going to be like, well, he's kind of smart. He wrote it all down. I'm like, guys, what are you talking about?
He's an idiot.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
So the wife confronts him And he lies and says it was just a fantasy. Notebooks upon notebooks upon notebooks of just this fantasy of being like a violent killer and a stalker and harassing these people, but it's just a fantasy.
What shocks me about these cases is how this man is 48 years old and he's about to commit murder. How did he get through 48 years of life without committing murder? He's going to do it one time and one time only. You know what I mean?
I think he's been
just getting
building
worse
up
and
to
worse
it
and worse
with stalking and harassment and being a total asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I think this guy is insufferable to be around.
And it's like, I know that there are experts out there who can tell us, like, here are all the red flags, here are all the warning signs that this is exactly what he was always going to do.
I'd say, like,
and there's no stopping him.
10 notebooks of detailing harassment and stalking and murder is like a pretty big red flag.
So the notebook is one of the things they're hoping to find at the house when they get the warrant. Guess what? They get the warrant.
So the creep is in custody because he violated the restraining order on the day of the murder by calling Jessica.
Yes.
The cops get the search warrant for the house, and they bring the same unit that investigated the crime scene. It's all the same people.
Once they were in the house, they found a arsenal of ammunition in Gregory Bender's closet. Multiple firearms, different caliber. They found body armor.
We see pictures of it, and it took my breath away. Mm-hmm. I understand that there are gun collectors. I understand that people have guns. There are people in my life that I love that have guns. I'm not a, like, take away all the guns person. I don't understand why anybody needs this hundreds of guns.
Well, and the bullets and the body armor.
Can we stop on that for a second?
Sure.
Body armor. You only need body armor if you're going into combat.
Right.
If you only need body armor if you're in a situation where you're going to be shot on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, all of that aside, that's all valid, but all of that aside, it's another violation of the restraining order.
Exactly.
Because they tell us that he should have turned over his, quote, entire arsenal to police within 24 hours of the restraining order being put in place. And he didn't do that, so that's another hit against him.
Let me ask you this, though. If we always know that these pieces of shit are never going to do it, why does not a restraining order automatically come with a, and we're going to search your house for guns? You know what I mean? It'd be one
for
thing.
For what? What's your cause?
I mean, if we need a restraining, if a restraining order says you have to turn your guns in, why can't it say we're going to come and take them? You know what I mean?
That, I don't know.
The restraining order says you have to turn your guns in. Nobody ever does it, but we know they're going to probably use them. It'd be one thing if he had a gun that he could hide that'd be hard to find. This man had a literal arsenal full of guns.
They call it an arsenal.
I don't understand why we can't go to there. If the restraining order says you have to turn your guns in, why can't we just go and take them?
I don't know.
It makes me crazy. Let's change the laws.
Okay, great. Let's do that.
Okay. And
tomorrow.
Also, nobody gets body armor. You don't get it. The military gets body armor. That's it.
Yeah. Well, it's like fucking black market weird shit.
Yeah. I know. Like, when it's, I saw, like, that he had body armor, I was like, oh my God. You
awful.
Know what I mean?
It's awful. And now, like, they know this guy did it, but we're all about building the case. So they want the murder weapon. They want this AR-15, and they can't find it at the house.
However, in one kitchen drawer, they make a crucial discovery.
They found in a kind of a junk drawer, one single casing for 300 blackout ammunition. The same caliber of shell casing that they found at the crime scene and outside the barn when Patrick was murdered.
The ammo found in this guy's junk drawer matches the ammo found at the scene.
Right. Now, they also find all the fucking notebooks.
But this is, okay, this is the thing that really, truly was the most curious of all of it to me, because he kept these meticulous notebooks about how he was going to do it. He goes and does it. He thinks he's going to get away with it. He tears the pages out of the notebook and throws it away in his own garbage.
Crumpled up piece, like, of paper lying there.
I just don't, like, understand. I get that he thought he was going to get away with it. He never thought the cops would get a warrant. They'd come and search us out. Why not just put it through the shredder?
I don't know.
Why not just put it down the garbage disposal?
Burn the books.
Like, there is no difference between having them in the notebook on the front of your desk and having the pages
in
the garbage.
I think because he, like, wanted it. I think because he wanted to read it back.
Oh,
and,
my,
like, I think
God.
He just wanted to be close to it.
It's mind-boggling to me that, like, the idiot with, like, the jewel heist who, like, spent all those months and years, like, hiding in air conditioning ducts only to rent a car in his own name and leave it on the property.
He, like, crumpled it up and put it in, like, the wastebasket.
I mean, in his own garbage.
And, like, didn't throw a match in there.
Joy, it doesn't burn the house. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But also, my favorite part is that this creep has been released from the county jail, but he has to wait outside his own house because they're still in there searching it.
I just had this image of the cop with the head, with the hand
idiot.
On his forehead while the guy's trying to get past him.
Idiot.
I know.
Fucking loser. So let's dive into this plan. He's got to-do lists. He's got maps, drawings. Put duct tape on the bottom of a second pair of shoes so you don't leave prints. Useful to have a GPS not on your phone.
Oh, my God.
It's clear he's been stalking Patrick.
Yes.
Like, the map is very accurate. This is very much planned out. He wrote very specific directions because he can't use his phone.
Right.
So he's writing, like, take Turnpike South to exit 259, Route 4. Stay right onto Howland and drive east about 4 miles. Like, he can't have his phone and
right.
his GPS, so he's got to write it all out. So he says, like, make a noise so he comes out, get control of him, search for a gun.
Oh, it says make a noise. So he just got lucky with the package thing.
Avoid the dog. His name is Optimus. He's old and slow. We never hear about Optimus again. I guess he made it out safely. Take his phone and leave it in the kitchen. Do it. Leave, meaning
kill him.
Get back on Route A heading south. Now, the plan was to pretend to rob Patrick and fake a heroin overdose.
Oh, my God.
Like it says, there are details in there about injecting him with junk and stuff, which never happened.
Oh.
Because we don't hear about that.
No, because he shot him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it says, like, mix some extra junk in one of the spoons and leave it in the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
It's like, what are you... You got heroin, too, now?
Because
Or is it fake heroin?
You look at Patrick and you look at the killer and you're like, Patrick would beat your ass. Of course you had to bring an AR-15, you idiot.
You fucking idiot. But this guy has been stalking him and really planned this out. And that's really important for the case.
I cannot imagine what it must be like to be living with a murder plot in your head for weeks.
Exhausting.
Like, just knowing that you're going to kill somebody.
Like, at the very least, I think it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they want to talk about it. I think the relief and the freedom of just having it out there, I think, is sometimes appeals to these people. That's why they want to talk. They want to confess. They want you to know, because it's like a lot. Like, it must be a lot to hold in there.
I guess.
And I'm a good secret keeper when it comes to, like, surprise parties or presents.
But I'm like, I feel like when you have the murder plot in your head, your body is rotting from the inside out. I feel like you must look disheveled. You must be exhausted. Like,
yeah. Here's an example. So Aaron and Megan, who do social media for us, they're married.
Yeah.
Aaron was going to throw Megan a surprise party.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't make the surprise party.
Yes.
I wrote notes on my reminder app to be like, text Megan happy birthday. Don't mention the surprise party. Because I was saying in my head, happy birthday, so sorry I can't make it.
I can understand how you were living with that terror for weeks.
I had notes. It was in the calendar. It was in the reminder app. There was an alarm set. Don't mention the party.
But, like, then you're going to mention it with your eyes. You know what I mean?
I texted. But, like, that is what haunts me and keeps me up at night in a cold sweat. I'm going to tell her. I didn't. I just said, happy birthday. Have a great day.
I don't have that fear.
I do.
I don't know. I mean, I forget everything anyway, so you know what I mean?
Oh, I learned
about meetings 10 minutes before when they pop up on my
Google
Calendar.
But doesn't that mean that you would ruin the surprise then? Because you forgot, like...
I mean, I knew about her surprise party, but I don't think I was afraid I was going to tell her.
I was so scared I was going to ruin the whole thing. And then it would be like some idiot ruining her birthday party.
It's okay. It's all right.
I didn't do it. Point is...
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of shit that I, like, so imagine this horrifying, these notebooks upon notebooks of stalking and a murder plan. So he writes, like, all these lists and maps and these drawings and then just, like, leaves it out there for everyone to see.
And this is where that former coworker and former friend Les goes, I'm not surprised he's so successful. You can't become successful if you're sloppy. He's saying.
Les, you don't know what the word quirky means and you don't know what the word successful means.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what words mean, Les.
He's like, he was so smart to write it all out so then he knew exactly what he was doing. I'm like, girl, he wrote a confession
note. What are you, one of these guys who's, like, has got like a man crush on the murderer?
Literally.
What's going on here?
I'm like, what he wrote was his plan, which equals confession, and then he threw it away in his own garbage. Les, what is wrong with
you? And, like, which one of this is a quirk? Like,
I know,
which one of these behaviors is a quirk, Les?
My God.
So, the day of the murder, this asshole gets up full of rage.
Yeah.
Leaves his phone at home. Bought the burner phone, drives 45 minutes to Patrick's house, tricked Patrick's father into thinking he was a delivery guy, shot and killed Patrick, goes in and removes the camera footage, which we never find or hear about again.
And we never learn how he knew where it was. I mean, unless it was in a super obvious place, but, like, we never learn how he knew which computer and which hard drive to take.
Unless he was, like, really, like, really stalking and, like, in the house when no one was home.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And just, like, creeping around, because he was doing this. He was meticulous.
Ugh.
That's the word you meant, former friend.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he was convinced he was going to get away with it. But
on March 1st, 2018, less than 48 hours after Patrick de la Cerda's death, Gregory Bender is charged with first-degree murder.
Gregory Bender is charged with first-degree murder.
Because all the cell phone information comes back, so now we have, like, things we can prove.
Right, we got it. Like, he was so convinced he was going to get away with it, we caught him in 40... Wait, actually, they caught him in, like, 2 hours.
In, like, 2 seconds.
But, like, in 48 hours, they were able to prove it.
Idiot. So, May 25th, 2021, years later, it's the trial.
Yeah.
The prosecutors lead with the handwritten murder plot.
Yeah.
Plus...
Why would they need anything more than that? Like, come on.
Well, guess what? They have plenty. The shell casings and the cell phone records and the restraining order and the stalking. I mean, we got the son of a bitch.
Totally. And then, like, the defense tries to argue once again that they don't have a murder weapon, they don't have the surveillance video.
Which are things I'd like to know the answer to as well.
Sure, but then they put the dad on the stand. How do you think this is going to play with the jury? They put the dad on the stand and accuse him of killing his own son. The dad is sobbing.
I understand you guys are desperate on the defense side, but there is no reason to drag Max through hell. That is cruel and heartless. And for what?
And as it was never going
to
work.
A last-ditch effort to try to get your guy off. Like, no.
Right.
Do something else.
Right.
Like, say that the phone records are a lie. Say or really rely on the fact that you don't have the murder weapon and you don't know where the footage went. Like, lean on that. But to drag this poor guy through this again is so cruel.
It could be anybody else, right? Like, why point to the dad? Say, like, we don't have the murder weapon. We don't have the surveillance video. This, it could have been anybody.
The salacious story that he wanted Jessica all to himself. It's not just that he killed his own son, which he did not do, obviously.
Right, of course.
And we never believed. But then it has to be some salacious, like, love triangle bullshit. Like, it's a tabloid.
How do you go home to your spouse and tell them, no, I really believe it was the dad?
How was your day at work today?
Right.
Oh, well.
You know what? I got to question that piece of shit dad that I think actually killed his kid.
And made him cry on the stand.
My poor, wrongfully convicted client. Like, what?
And re-traumatized
him. How do you live with yourself?
It's crazy.
And it's only because this guy is rich, and I'm sure these lawyers are expensive.
Whatever.
It's like the almighty dollar.
Right. So.
On May 28th, 2021, the trial reaches its conclusion.
We, the jury, find the defendant guilty of the charge of first-degree murder.
At Gregory's sentencing hearing a short time later, he was sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Life in prison without parole.
Yeah.
And then it just ends with, like, the custom ring did arrive and Jessica still wears it every day.
And she's, like, tight with Bryce. Like he has the business he was going to start with Patrick, and she does their social media.
They work together.
Which I think is so great.
I think it's so sweet.
Yeah.
And we get, like, the on-screen text that this asshole is incarcerated in the maximum security wing of a state correctional facility.
He's exhausted. Bye. All of his appeals will spend the rest of his life behind bars. But, like, nothing will bring Patrick back. It's like, I totally understand when the families are like, right, but it's not injustice. There's no justice.
There's no closure. There's no justice. It's just like
25 years old.
I know. And great. But like the good, we got the guy. But also the other frustrating thing is like, so what's going to change exactly? Nothing.
Right. Exactly.
Like what have we learned from this really?
Right.
Anything?
Right. Exactly.
Stay stupid.
Stay stupid.
Keep writing everything down in your notebook, you fucking losers. You herb losers. Keep writing it down. Leave it for all of us to see. Keep that up. You know what? Keep doing that if you're listening to the show.
You're doing a great job.
If you take nothing.
Yep.
You creep murderer, herb loser. Yeah. Keep writing it down.
Keep writing
That's it.
It down.
And leave voicemails so we have your voice and all of your threats. Put them on voicemails, please. Thank you. We're going to get you.
Oh, girl, we did, what's it called?
It's called Love You to Death Playbook for Murder.
Just so sad.
I know.
Once again, fam, I'm out on tour. The next cities I'm coming to are Detroit, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Minneapolis. Come to hang out
cities.
With me.
Good chunk of cities.
I know. And I love them, and I love going out there. And listen, I'm, like, out with the people the whole time. I'm never, like, when the doors open at 5 o'clock, I'm there. I go up, I do the Q&A, I come back down. The show starts, I go up to the stage, I come back down for the hangout. Like, we're just hanging out the whole time. It's
great.
Super, super fun. People are making friends, and I'm making it off for an hour. So, patricktours.com, or you can click on the link in the show notes. What do we do next, girl?
Well, weirdly enough, there's actually, it's Worst Ex Ever 3, Killing for Custody. And once again, there's another very long and detailed checklist.
Oh.
And in this one, we also have the search history.
Okay, great.
So thank you for taking my notes immediately.
We do love a search history.
As I'm giving them to you, checklist notes.
Wow.
Search history.
Okay, great.
Another one and done, open and shut case. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, God. All right, fam. We love you so much. Stay tuned for the trailer for that.
Yes.
Stay safe out there.
Stay safe, please.
My
we love
God.
You.
My God. We love you. All right, bye.
Bye.
Most murders are committed by people that you know. But having an entire family involved is definitely a rare sight.
Anywhere,
all of a sudden, we started screaming.
What are you doing?
It felt like a shot. He's got his little 2-year-old daughter with him.
We had no idea what we had. Who's my suspect? Who's my victim?
I am very lucky to be alive today. If they had gotten away with it, you know, my daughter would never know who I was. But I did step up to this challenge and I did persevere.